Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2017. It is August the 8th. It is Tuesday. And back from another trip to St. Vincent College in Latrobe is Alex Cazora to fill us in on what he observed during practice the day after the team had Monday off. Alex, happy Tuesday to you.
Happy Tuesday, Dave. And one thing, you know, I was surprised watching practice today. I kind of figured the intensity and the tackling would be ramped down, you know, considering this is kind of like a game week for the team playing Friday against the Giants. But no, you know, I mean, they had a lot of sessions, a lot of teamwork today, and the tackling was still there. So, you know, again, we hear about Pittsburgh being one of the most physical camps, and I think today is good evidence of that.
Okay, the Steelers released a depth chart earlier in the day. Did you get a chance to look at that, and what did you chuckle about the most?
It's just such a useless depth chart. I like their idea of not adding guys that aren't practicing because they're hurt. That's a new one.
Yeah, it was. And that list was, what, 14 players or something along those lines? You know, a lot of people listening to this podcast can probably recite those guys better than we can at this point, unfortunately. The age-old bumps and bruises associated with training camp, as Mike Tomlin likes to say. But, boy, that list is large. Why don't you run through real quickly the guys who did not practice today or were limited or all the above?
Okay, I'll go through it pretty quick. A lot of the same names. Still no Artie Burns, Landry Jones, Mike Mitchell, Golson, Sutton, Ayers, Shazier, Keon Adams, James Harrison was in sweats today, Justin Hunter, Villanueva, I think Tomlin called that a concussion, Pouncey probably got rest, James Conner was in full pads, but only individual work, did not play in team, Farrington Hugonen and Greg Ducree were similar in pads, did not see them in team. Bud Dupree returned, which was a good sign for him. Tuitt was back. I did see some progress on the side with Burns and Sutton, so that's good. Sammy Coates is running, I think, at full speed, so he looks really close to coming off PUP. Chickalo went down. Brandon Dixon had an ankle injury. He went back into the individual drill but was not in team. So getting thin at outside linebacker, getting thin again at corner. Ja'Cory Shepherd might have pulled up something lame at the last play of practice, so you could see some more roster moves tomorrow.
And I think Chickalo, Tomlin said, strained hip flexor with him day to day. So it'll be interesting to see if he works on Wednesday. Now might be the time we finally see that outside linebacker move because James Harrison back in the gray sweats. I don't know.
There's three outside linebackers healthy right now.
Yeah, and look, you know, I've been all over Arthur Motes most of the offseason. You know, he's a guy that I think on the outside looking in, but you got to credit him this one thing. He's staying on the field.
Mm-hmm. And did it with T.J. Watt. You know, so many rookies have gotten hurt. So many young guys have been down. Watt really has only missed the one team session midway through camp for a very minor thing. So, you know, definitely credit to him for taking care of his body.
And the thing with Pouncey, that's multiple practices now he's missed, right?
Yeah, but I still think it's rest. I mean, he looks fine. There is a little wrap around his lower right leg, but you consider all the knee surgeries and stuff he's gone through, I think for the rest of his career, it's going to be smart to manage his reps.
Yeah, let's hope it's nothing serious there. There's no reason to think that there is, but you know how these things go sometime. B.J. Finney was interviewed earlier in the day, and that interview's up on Steelers.com. You know, sounds like he's going to be getting a start at center on Friday night against the Giants. Let's see, what was it? Gerald Hawkins was missing today. Tomlin called that an excused absence there. I believe, what, Hubbard starting left tackle today?
Correct. And then the second team was Brian Mahalik at left tackle, Jake Rogers at right tackle. And do you want to go over the roster move made today as well?
Yeah, we can. Real quick about Mahalik, flip flopping a lot back and forth between right and left.
Yeah, they have flip flop. The whole group's, you know, everyone's already kind of moved around, so guys have different spots. So he's been at right and left today, left tackle.
All right, and as far as the roster move earlier in the day, center Mike Matthews was waived injured. Supposedly he tore a patella tendon, I think, in his knee. That's going to be some time there. So he'll obviously clear waivers. He'll revert to the Steelers IR. You know, a lot of times if these injuries are minor, the team will reach some kind of injury settlement with the player. This doesn't sound minor at all, so it wouldn't be surprising if Matthew stays on IR most of, if not all, of the season. And if you're worried about salary cap purposes and all, I'm sure he signed a contract with a split salary clause, so he'll earn half, you know, probably right at about half or maybe a little bit more than what, you know, his regular salary would have been. So we'll pay attention to the waiver wire just in case to see if they reach a settlement with him. But being it's such a long-term injury, I'm willing to bet he stays on IR, but, you know, I've been wrong about these things in the past there. Signed to take Mike Matthews' place on the roster is Lucas Crowley. Crowley, a kid I watched a little bit of. I don't know if you did, Alex, you know, during the off season there, but a kid come out of North Carolina, center, had a real decent senior year, kind of an undersized center, and originally was with the Arizona Cardinals as an undrafted free agent, was cut loose by them a couple of weeks ago. So he looks to be, I guess, where was he working in rotation today? Did you notice?
He wasn't in team, and I really wasn't paying too much attention to the individual portion. So, you know, maybe we'll get an idea tomorrow, but I'm guessing, you know, like Matthews, guard or center.
Who's going to back up B.J. Finney?
Kyle Friend should be the backup.
Okay, Kyle Friend will be your backup in that game. So we might see a lot of him and very little of Lucas Crowley, maybe late, if he can get up to speed on some things, I would think there. Am I missing anything news-wise?
I think that's everything. Still nothing on Martavis Bryant. That's still a mess. NFL, I don't know what they're doing, but Bryant does his routes on the side, but that's all he can do right now. No pads for him.
All right, and you said Sammy Coates was ramping it up a little bit more, and it's hard to speculate when he'll come off of PUP, but he's getting closer, whatever that closer is, we don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be, you know, again, it's hard to put a timetable on it, but I'd say within a week they might make the move. He looks pretty good.
All right. Well, I won't hold you to it. We'll see. okay, moving on to Tuesday's practice there. A little bit of a bucket game went on there, and Ben Roethlisberger didn't win it, did he?
He didn't. It was Bart Houston, of all people. They throw those little fades into the trash can. I posted the one photo on my Twitter feed. And yeah, Houston hit it twice. Ben once, Dobbs once, and even Todd Haley always joins in on that drill, hit it once. But yeah, Bart Houston wins. That's a sentence we don't say too often on the Terrible Podcast.
And I think our own Matthew Marksey tweeted out not long after that, see ya, Landry Jones, or something sarcastic along those lines. But Landry Jones, obviously, it's easy to start going through some of these names and saying who's going to be in and who's out on Friday night. But we'll wait and see what Tomlin has to say during his press conference on, let's see, what's tomorrow? Wednesday. And, you know, I don't know if he'll tell us. I'm sure he'll tell us he's going to leave the light on for several players. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm sure he'll rule out a few as well, too. Okay, what? Walk us through some practice. And you know, let's you know, anything else stick out offensive line related?
I think that was the bulk of it. Nothing too good, or really nothing too good or bad on the offensive line. Just, you know, the line's kind of thinner, without, you know, Hawkins and Villanueva with a concussion kind of bumping guys up. They do a lot of stunt work and twist work and O-line, D-line, not a lot of true one-on-ones. So really that's all I have for the offensive line.
All right, tight end. Jesse James dropped a pass today. Another one.
Yeah, it was a really nice throw by Ben. I mean, you know, Jesse was running a little flag route to the corner, to the right sideline, and dropped it. Seen a couple of those. I think he's up to 3 drops now in team sessions, and he's been better in the red zone, which is kind of what I was really hoping for him to do. But, you know, consistency, red zone work, combative catches, those are going to be all the keys to a successful season for Jesse James, and that's something certainly worth watching.
How close is he to his ceiling?
I don't know. I still think it's probably a ways to go. Just becoming more consistent is probably the thing he's going to work on next. He's improved as a blocker. I think he does a nice job as a combative catcher. He's got to work on playing to his size and playing a little more physical, I think, at the top of routes, especially in the red zone. But, you know, he's what? How old is he? 22, 23? I mean, there's still growth to be had.
Okay, Fazan Odom, problems getting off the line against T.J. Watt.
Yeah, 6'7" is nice when you're in space, but when you're trying to come out of a 3-point stance and off the line, it can be an issue. He's just so tall, and he struggles to have the flexibility to be able to rip under some of these, obviously shorter, they're all shorter linebackers that, for the second time that I can remember off the top of my head, Watt just completely jammed Odom at the line of scrimmage. I mean, Odom couldn't do anything to shake free, and the quarterback doesn't even throw the ball. We've seen some miscommunication. We've seen some drops, some stuff passes to get into his body that shouldn't. When he's able to get it away from his frame, he can catch it cleanly and get upfield, and he's a pretty efficient, quick-to-the-tuck guy. But it's about getting to that point, which has been the struggle for Fazan Odom. So you and I have warned Steelers Nation before camp that this was a major work in progress, and that's how I would classify it, as a major work in progress.
Is he a legitimate practice squad candidate right now, or is he the type of guy that you can easily probably upgrade?
It wouldn't be the biggest shock if they went outside the organization to find someone else, just because there is so far to go for Odom, but I still think he's worth the flyer. We've seen this team put, you know, pretty raw guys on the practice squad before. Other positions generally, you know, whether that's a Villanueva or a Mahalik or, you know, guys like that. But, you know, my roster prediction that I posted this morning for Steelers Depot, I did have Odom on the practice squad. So I still think he'll be kept there just to give a year in the system at a, you know, NFL program instead of a small school like Fordham and see what this guy can do, you know, a year from now.
To read some of the media reports already floating around after practice, Toussaint had a pretty nice battle against Vince Williams today. Did you get to see any of that?
Are they referring to the one-on-ones in, like, coverage?
I think they were one-on-ones or something along those lines. I think they went against each other a couple times. I think it was Jacob Klinger that had something up on okay. his side about it. Did you didn't see anything on that?
I watched a couple reps. There was nothing too impressive, but then I got a little distracted because that's when Brandon Dixon got hurt. So I did miss a couple reps there. So Toussaint might have made a play, and I missed it. I mean, yeah, Toussaint and Vince have always had good battles. I think Nile Davis has been impressive out of the backfield too, both in one-on-ones and on our charting for the team session. I think he has like 12 catches this year and like 12 or 13 targets. I mean, they've mostly been checkdowns, of course, but I like what Davis can do out of the backfield as well.
Is that the thing that's caught your eye? We've all seen the tape on him. I'm just not that high on him as a running back. Is the thing that caught your eye about Nile Davis the most is just his ability to catch the football out of the backfield?
Maybe not that. I think I've just been impressed that there's more explosion than maybe I thought. I thought he was a guy that was kind of reaching the end of his career. We know how short careers can be for running backs, but I see more explosion. I see a little bit more size and power than I expected. I guess to put a bow on it, Dave, I'm more surprised and impressed by how complete he is. He can catch, he can block. He's done well in backs on backs. I think he was 4-4 in the things I have charted. You know, he's got some wiggle he can create. He's got a little bit more power than I expected. So I think he's just a better runner and a better player than what I thought he was, which was a niche kind of return guy. I think he could offer a little bit of running back.
Juju Smith in the wide receiver group. Juju sounds like he had a tweet in, made another nice catch. The crowd went crazy. He also moved around a little bit today.
Yeah, that catch was in 7-on-7s, but it was still a really nice diving catch over the middle, kind of like the one Eli Rogers had, I think, against the Bengals, to win that game. That was really a nice diving catch over the middle. It was kind of similar to that. He actually opened up as the Z receiver opposite Antonio Brown. You know, obviously Justin Hunter's out, no Bryant, no Coates. There's not a lot of guys left, but he was over DHB. He was over Kobe Hamilton. So I think there's something to be said for that. And he played inside out as well. They're moving guys around, which is to be expected in Todd Haley's offense. Even a guy like Eli Rogers, who we know is really going to be a slot guy. Got several reps on the outside as the Z receiver today. So, you know, guys are going to move around. But I like Juju Smith and the receivers. That's a good band name for the 70s or something. I like that. I'm going to keep that one in mind, Dave.
Juju and the gang. let's see here. Quarterbacks. Did I catch something on your Twitter feed that maybe not as good a practice for Dobbs today?
Yeah, it certainly wasn't one of his best. His accuracy was off, 7 shots. He struggled to be able to put the ball with good ball placement. He does show good ball placement down the field to those sideline throws that are, you know, those 9 balls. They're always to the outside shoulder to the point where either the receiver's going to catch it or no one's going to catch it. So, you know, in that regard, I think he's consistently shown good ball placement. But his accuracy was a bit spotty today. The one thing I did like from him, though, you know, they went through the 2-minute drill. You know, I think the offense had 1 timeout to work with, had to go 60 yards and score, and Dobbs' unit did. He just, again, shows good command of the huddle and of the offense, where he's getting, you know, up to the line quickly. He's able to communicate cleanly, make good decisions. And even when things go wrong, I'll give you one example, Dave. In that 2-minute drill, there was one shotgun snap that just went through his hands. It was his mistake, of course. And he picked it up immediately. It took a nice bounce for him, but he picked it up. He climbed the pocket and made a throw over the middle. It wasn't incomplete, but you just saw that he's not rushing things. I think when the chaos is around him, you know, he's still acting cool, calm, collected, which you have to as a quarterback. So while it wasn't his best day, I think he showed some traits, you know, in terms of the intangibles that can show that you can see why this team drafted him in the 4th round.
Okay. Bart Houston able to get him out in and out of the huddle a little bit better?
Well, he wasn't part of the no huddle drill, so we didn't get a chance to see that. I think overall, I think it was just the first and second team. Both offenses scored. Ben to AB and Dobbs to Severin with a really nice throw. Maybe Dobbs' best throw of the day in the right corner of the end zone. But I think Houston's been better in that regard, which is what you would expect. You know, some of those issues have been cut down.
All right, defensive line. I'm assuming McCullough's still running behind Walton. And by the way, for whatever the depth chart is worth, McCullough's was listed as the number 2 nose tackle behind Hargrave.
Well, that tells you how much a depth chart is worth, which is not much. But they said Walton at end, didn't they?
Yeah. They had Walton at end.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Obviously we'll probably see some Walton at end. You think in the game against the Giants or no?
I'm leaning no, just because he hasn't worked there. You know, obviously he's worked there in the past, but I think they want to get a good long look at Walton at nose tackle. I think they know what they have with him at end. They want to look at other defensive ends and see what they can do. I don't rule it out, but I think it's going to be mostly, you know, nose tackle and some nickel snaps for LT Walton.
All righty. Hargrave still doing his thing. You noticed anything sticking out with improvement with him or anything else?
No, I think he's been solid. You know, his ability to flow down the line to beat some of those reach blocks and zone schemes. You know, that athleticism that he has is pretty unique for the position. Thought Stephon Tuitt had one of his better days. Not that we need to validate how good of a player Stephon Tuitt is, but, you know, David DeCastro had his hands full. So, nice day for him.
Okay, let's see. Middle linebacker, Shazier's still out. Are you starting to get a little bit? I mean, it's too early to get worried about this kind of nicks and bruises. But, man, you just wish we could get through a full training camp maybe for once without, you know, Shazier missing considerable amount of time.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I'm not really at the concern level yet. I think it's going to be more about a cautious approach. I mean, there's no big wraps on him. He's walking around fine. You know, I'm going to, for now at least, assume that all is well there. I don't have a whole lot of other notes. You know, Keith Kelsey, Galambos keep showing some positive things. You know, Medikevich is always around the ball as usual, which is kind of his MO. Steven Johnson, LJ Fort did some nice things in coverage in that one-on-one drill we referenced earlier with Toussaint and Vince Williams. That's about it. Nothing too crazy today.
Where you sit, can you hear a lot of communication going on?
It gets jumbled by different guys talking and checking with each other, so nothing specific comes to mind.
All right. Outside linebacker. We already went over that. Only 3 healthy guys out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Moats I thought had a really good day, though. You know, Marcus Gilbert does not lose too often, but I thought Moats had a couple wins against Gilbert today, beat him to the inside, some good speed to power. One other note I want to give, while I was happy Bud Dupree was back in team, you know, watching him in those one-on-one coverage drills, it's definitely not his forte, and I get it's built for the offense to succeed, but even, you know, knowing that, you know, Dupree and man coverage, I think, struggles just being able to, you know, you sink his hips and change direction and play, you know, when the receiver breaks his route. I mean, you see Jake McGee and David Johnson burst away from Bud Dupree, and those guys are not fleet of foot. So I do have a little concern about that in game and some of those matchup zones and straight man coverages, how Bud Dupree is going to look. So we know that, you know, the outside linebackers are still going to be dropping, even though Bud's on the left side. He's still going to probably drop anywhere from 22% to 25% of the time this year, and there could be an issue there.
I thought Tomlin did a great job after practice talking about how, you know, sometimes you can't read a lot into some of these drills because of the you know, how they control them for injury purposes, and especially these edge rushers, you know, coming off, you know, coming up from the outside, and how, they absolutely are not supposed to smack the quarterback around.
Right.
And on the flip side, the running backs are not allowed to cut. You know,
right.
So I know that kind of probably tempers things a little bit, because, you know, the edge rushers can't probably go full bore, mm-hmm. you know, like they like to probably. And I just thought Tomlin did a great job of kind of recapping that during his press conference today. Defensive backs, you know, like you said, that those lines are, you know, fairly short right now, but Shepard's had a few practices now. Sensabaugh's still getting a lot of work. Mike Hilton's still making plays.
You know, rinse, repeat. I mean, again, I can't stress it enough. He's doing, I think, everything you have to do to try to make this roster. Now, there still may be some, you know, football IQ, some mental things he's got to work on. There was they were working on some Hail Mary stuff today, kind of ending game stuff, a lot of situational football today, Dave. And Tomlin was telling the defense, you know, offense has no timeouts. You know, they're going to want to get out of bounds. Basically, don't let them get out of bounds. And what did Mike Hilton do? He let Xavier Grimble to the sideline and get out of bounds. So I think there's still obviously some detailed stuff to clean up, which is natural this time of year. But it's a thin group. If there's no Dixon and Shepard tomorrow, I think Shepard's going to be okay. Dixon may not be. They're going to have to make a move unless they get somebody back, because they have like four or five corners left. That's just not enough. Brian Allen continues to show some improvement, and I like how Cody Sensabaugh plays to run and attacks downhill. He's an aggressive guy. He reads and reacts well, and he puts his face in the fan. So he might not be the best tackler in the world, but I certainly like his effort and demeanor, which is a good place to start for a Pittsburgh Steelers DB.
Still enough time for Cinquez Golson?
The short answer is yes. You know, he could come back tomorrow, which, I mean, I don't think he will, but hypothetically, he could come back really soon, and we got four preseason games, and even for Golson, it'd be at least three preseason games for him to show something. So I don't discount that entirely, but, you know, I left him off my roster prediction today because, what has this guy been able to show? You know, really nothing. He had the one good practice, and he got hurt. So until he gets on the field consistently, gets into a game, shows something on special teams, you know, it's like at DeMarcus Ayers. His path, Golson's path, is special teams. If he's not in stadiums playing on special teams, how can you say he's going to make this team? So he's on the outside looking in like he was before. He just got to get back as soon as possible.
Did you leave Mike Hilton off your 53, too?
I did. It hurt me. It hurt me a lot. I put Ryan Allen on there just because I think Allen will also do well on special teams. He's a little faster, a lot bigger, and I think he's going to be a good tackler. And I just think push comes to shove, are they going to cut another fifth-round corner? I mean, maybe that's bad logic for me to lose, but I just think they're going to look around and say, we can't cut another one of these guys. So it could go either way again. Special teams going to be determined in stadiums, not in Latrobe, but I put Brian Allen as my sixth corner.
I think you finally came around and have all the draft picks making the 53 now, right?
I do. I thought of that when I was making it last night. I figured I was going to get a little golf clap from you, Dave Ryan.
Well, we got a long way to go, and in fact, I'm probably as you're coming forward with him, I'm probably backing off a little bit on Keon Adams and Brian Allen a little bit. But look, I mean, I haven't you know, you're there at practice. I'm not. I haven't even seen a lot of these guys in a Steelers uniform. And you know, the way things are looking, a few of them I'm probably not going to see on Friday night either. You know, talking about guys like Keon Adams. Now, hopefully we'll see Brian Allen get to play quite a bit in that game, along with several of the other draft picks, Sands, you know, possibly Connor and Cameron Sutton. Those two, I don't know, Connor's going to really have to get something done in pads tomorrow, you would have to think, right?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if Connor went out there and played Friday. I think give it another week on him to get into a game.
Okay, anything at all with the safeties? I mean, we haven't talked about Jordan Dangerfield a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's still Jordan Dangerfield. He'll hit. He'll fill the alley well. You know, it's just, I think it's tough for safeties to get involved because they're so far away from the football. No safety with an interception in camp. Only one safety had a pick last year in camp, too. That was Jacob Hagan. So it's tough for them to get involved. I get it, but I would like to see some splash from these guys. At least pick off one pass before practice or before training camp ends.
All right, walk us through how the practice went today. I mean, they started this, went to this, went to that.
You want from the very beginning, like the absolute very beginning?
Yeah. Just walk. Okay. I mean, try to paint a picture as best you can to those of us who weren't out there today or never have been to a practice.
Yeah, they come down around 2:55. At least that's when the horn blows. Guys usually come down earlier, starting around 2:30. You know, they'll do a little bit of warm ups there. Special team session usually starts things off. They'll do some kick return, punt return with the big machines there, and then a little bit of individual work. You know, just on air. Then they'll get into the stretch line and go through that. They break into positional work, so, you know, O-line working on blocking, tight ends on the sleds, DBs working on, you know, their back pedal, stuff like that. Then they get into a little bit of, you know, team groups to offense and defense, so quarterbacks throwing to the receivers and the tight ends and, you know, things of that nature. Then they break into seven shots, so that's their ball in the two, and they get seven plays from there. Then usually they go into one-on-one, so after seven shots today, they went to the linebacker tight ends versus linebacker versus tight ends and running backs, and then usually get back into team session for one team session, and there'll be some special team stuff in between. Go back into team. They'll go back and forth, basically flip flop special team sessions and team regular offense defense sessions. Then they'll do 7-on-7s with another O line D line on the other side of the field. Then to finish it up, they'll do one final team session. So you know, basically just warm ups, working together as an offense and a defense, coming together in team. Mixing special team sessions in there for about 5 minutes a piece, doing some 7-on-7, some O-line, D-line work, then come back together for team and then practice at about 5:15. So about a 2-hour, 15-minute practice each day.
All right, Alex, you've seen 10 practices now. I think there's 6 left. Is that right?
I haven't even counted. I think the 18th is the final day, but I forget how many are left.
Let's see. We have one tomorrow. We have, I think... I think there's 6 left. There's either 5 or 6 left. But regardless, after 10 practices now, what concerns you the most about this team?
And I know
it's a hard question too, because we're talking about practice. You know, we're talking about training camp, but you know what I'm getting at. I mean, there's got to be some things where you're saying, man, you know, this, that, or the other.
Yeah, I want to make sure the guy like Jesse James, you know, becomes the red zone threat that I think this offense needs him to, because I'm not sure if I've quite seen that yet. I'm not sure if I've seen the consistency from him that I expected, and I think that he has to give Ben in this offense. So that's, you know, red zone is such a critical area. This team was 16th in the league last year, was absolutely dreadful on the road, you know, going with their road woes last year.
You see that? I know a lot of people probably already knew the stat, but when you go back and you drill it down, you know, inside the red zone versus home and away was just, I mean, brutal. They were, you know, something like second best in the league at home inside the red zone, and then something like 6th worst in the league on the road. And Ben Roethlisberger only threw one red zone touchdown pass on the road last year, and that came in the opener against the Redskins. And if that's not bad enough, it was that fluky that deflection off of Coates to Eli Rogers.
Yeah, I did see that. That was a great point, Dave. I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad. But my question is, what was worse, the fact that the Steelers only had one road passing touchdown, or the fact that no one on your Twitter feed read the word road and just thought that you were an idiot and you had to explain to everybody that you were talking only about the road? Your Twitter feed was a fun time last night, I bet.
Well, A, I am an idiot, but B, I can read sometimes, as long as they're four-letter words like road, I can read. But yeah, it blew. People said, oh, that's wrong. It's because that stat's not right. I had, you know, four or five different people, you know, called me on that, and I had to explain to them, go back and read the tweet, because it, you know, it specifically says road. I mean, I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night, kind of thing there. But we've talked a lot about Roethlisberger's problems on the road last year, and the thing is, if you can't cherry pick it this way, because I mean, Roethlisberger certainly had his problems in other areas of the field on the road, but his stats sure look a lot better if you subtract out those red zone stats from his overall road passing stats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just go back to red zone. I mean, obviously on paper it should be better. You get Martavis Bryant back, you know, you have the Killer Bees together, but I circle a guy like Jesse James and think that he really has to come through, and I'm not sure if I'm convinced about that yet. I'm not convinced, in fact.
How much do you think of that comes down to communication and things like that on the road, inside the red zone, you know, not being able to communicate properly, or players just not getting the assignments right, or what?
Yeah, no, it's huge, especially on the road when there's a crowd noise factor, when you're working on a silent count. The operation has to be perfect, and we've seen that issue, and still have seen that issue some with Eli Rogers. You know, the slot is such an important area where communication has to be in sync, and what the receiver sees and what the quarterback sees and thinks and reacts has to be the exact same. If there's any issue at all, it's going to cause a big problem. You look at that Washington game last year, there was a little hiccup with Eli Rogers who led to a Roethlisberger interception early in that game. So, the slot position, tight end, any sort of red zone work where that space gets confined, you got to be perfect. There's no margin for error. And certainly the Steelers felt what happened when you errored last year and how poorly they performed.
Any concerns specifically about defense?
Well, I mean, it goes back to stuff that, you know, we can't really say for sure if it's good or bad. Pass rush, the four-man pass rush, how much better the coverage is going to be. I think the numbers in camp at least speak to how much better the secondary's improved, even with some of the injuries to Burns and Mike Mitchell, guys that are not practicing right now. The completion percentages are way down. Even guys like AB's catch numbers are way down. So I think those are positive things. But, you know, like you said earlier, it's hard to gauge how good a pass rush is in camp. You just can't do it. The guys aren't going full bore. They're not allowed to. They can't hit the quarterback. Said it before, said it again. I know you agree. That's going to make or break the team, how successful the four-man pass rush is. So, you know, we'll get a little taste of that Friday. But honestly, you know, we'll know more about that the third preseason game. But we're just going to have to figure it out when the regular season happens and see how this team looks when they're fully together, healthy, and playing as a unit.
I thought Keith Butler heard an interview this past week, him talking about the pass rush and all, and how and I'm going to try to keep a better eye on this myself during the season here. You know, when a quarterback on a three-step drop, that back foot hits the ground there, if he pulls that ball just the slightest way down, it means he's unsure where he's going to go with the football. And then when that happens, they absolutely have to make him pay for it. They got to be able to get him off the spot because, obviously in most situations on a three-step drop, that ball's going to come out there quick, and it's not going to matter how good your pass rush is. Team, you know, because, you know, the ball's coming out less than 2.6, 2.5 seconds. And boy, didn't we see that a lot against the Eagles? And geez, I mean, it seemed like almost every other, you know, every team they played against last year. I remember timing quite a few of those opposing quarterback snap to throws last year. And it just amazes me how quick some of these guys were getting the football out. And that, you know, that plays in hand, too, with this hopefully some more man coverage as well, too. Because if you want to stop a quarterback from getting rid of that ball in 2.6, 2.5 seconds or less, you got to cover. You know, you just you can't play playoff. You got to make quarterbacks somehow start holding on to the football. And when you do, or when you get them in situations where it's third and seven or second and seven, and you know that they got to try to push the football down the field for quarterbacks other than Alex Smith, that's when your pass rush absolutely has to get home and all. So I'm going to be trying to pay a little bit more attention. I thought Keith Butler did a good job of kind of going through that, about when quarterbacks hit that final step on a three-step drop to watch what he's doing with the football. And he also went on to say that, boy, Stephon Tuitt probably should have had, I forget how many sacks, 8, 11 or something like that, just because he wasn't able to finish on a few of them there. Yeah, so
that was the big thing in my One Step to Take series. I said about Tua was you got to finish plays. I mean, against the Jets, against I think the Browns, he left too much meat on the bone for sure.
And how many times do we see guys like Sean Davis? I can remember at least two, I think, on some safety blitzes where he missed the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, or even other stuff where there's not an actual missed tackle, but there's a loss of contain against the Patriots. Tom Brady got to scramble for one and was flushed out and completed another third and long pass because they lost contain on a stunt, and Brady was able to flush to his right and extend the play. So that's a situation where you should have had it contained and probably gotten a sack because you covered it well, but somebody screwed up and didn't get their backside contained, and the quarterback is able to extend the play. So this team has to be better in that regard, and if they are, you can see the sack numbers go up big time compared to last year's, what was it, 38, I think, middle of the pack across the league.
The little things, right?
Yeah, devil in the details, you know it.
Pick me out two or three plays that stood out today.
Juju's diving catch in 7-on-7s, that was one of the highlights, I think. Hilton's breakup to Kobe Hamilton, really nice job, because he was trailing that play, too. Hamilton probably got two steps on him, so Hilton had to get his head around and find the football, time it, and break it up, and he did. That was a really nice job. And then probably Watt stoning Faison Odom in one-on-ones like he did, and just, Odom had nowhere to go, and he just kind of stops running, and the quarterback looks at him like, dude, come on, let me throw it. So that's something that's really to work on for Faison Odom.
All right, who's wearing the L today?
I get what your point about Tomlin saying, you have to be careful with some of these drills and how you evaluate them, but this wasn't a pass rush situation for a guy like Bud Dupree, where I understand you're not going to get after the quarterbacks the way that you want to. It was a coverage drill, which is still tailored for the offense, but it's David Johnson and Jake McGee. These guys are having a lot of success against him. So that is one concern I have with Dupree. Well, I think I'm still optimistic for a big year from him as a pass rusher, a guy that I think can and frankly needs to have 10-plus sacks. I think he can get 12 sacks this year. I have some concerns about him in coverage. So hopefully that gets alleviated in games a little bit, something I'll certainly be watching for.
So you giving Dupree the L?
I'm going to give him the L because every day I give the back-end roster guys, Brown Dukes and Odom. I wanted to do someone more notable today that no one just yawned at, so I figured I'd mix it up. And it wasn't terrible for Dupree, but that's one area that I thought he struggled in. And
I feel you and I respect you. All right.
Do you agree, though? That's the other guy.
I'm not there. I'm not there. So for me to disagree with you would be shame on me. Okay, great stuff as usual, Alex. Tomorrow night we'll recap what happens out there during Wednesday's practice. You and I might get into real quickly. Guys, we expect to excel. In the game against the Giants, we'll try to put a little bit different twist. I know people probably hear these things night in, night out, and probably a lot of it kind of sounds like the same. And I guess the real thing is, do they really want us talking about the Kyle Friends? A lot. I mean, there's really probably just not much there, and a lot of these guys probably don't get a lot of snaps overall. So the thing is, with a preseason game coming up Friday night, we're certainly either David Todd and I or you and I at some point during podcast next week are going to have game stuff that we can actually talk about, not practice. And that'll put a little bit different twist on it as well too. Once again, thanks a ton for the update there, and thanks to our sponsor Touring Plans. I think this is what do we decide, this is the third year, year three, they've been sponsor us. Hit them up on Twitter at Touring Plans or go to touringplans.com and let them know, thank them for being a sponsor. And to all of you out there, the listeners, you guys are really the big reason why we're able to do this as well, too. The donations were absolutely amazing again this year, and we just can't thank you enough for this, because it sure eases the burden and, you know, of Alex driving back and forth and you know, all the extra costs associated. And of course, we put in the time and effort to put these podcasts together almost on a nightly basis, you know, for you as well, too. And some nights it's easier than others. I'll guarantee you that. So, Alex, I appreciate that. Follow Alex on Twitter at Alex Cazora, @Alex_Cazora. Follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. David and I, Todd and I should be back together Wednesday morning for a podcast. So be on the lookout for that. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast.